Yes, so we'll discuss in Yanei Mila that we've been discussing in the parishes the past couple of weeks and continuing. So we know there's halacha v'yom hashmini imo b'sar alaso. On day 8, one is chayev obligated to do a bris. So the Gemara learns out afilu b'shabbos, even on Shabbos, meaning Shabbos, even if it's Yom Kippur Shechol b'Shabbos, you have to do a bris. There's no day of the year that if we'll see, maybe with them, a healthy day a baby, and you know it's definitely a milah b'zmana, that you don't do a bris on Shabbos. So that's the halacha, that's clear cut. And even though by other mitzvahs we don't do, we know when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, when the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we don't do a bris on Shabbos. We don't do the shofar on Shabbos, and we don't do the four minim, but we have a gzeira de rabba. Rabba made a decree, we're afraid you're going to come to carry. So the Rishonim discuss, why are we more concerned? Why don't we apply gzeira de rabba by mila? So there are many answers. One is because mila is an ase sheyesh bo kares, that by normally there's no punishment by merely not performing a mitzvah. If I don't put on tefillin, I don't wear tzitzis, or a tzitzis is a separate, assuming you're wearing a four-cornered garment. But assuming you don't eat matzah on Pesach, on the night of Pesach, so again, you have to do tshuva, but there's no punishment. Back in the day, you brought a karban, but there's no punishment. By two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of mila and the mitzvah of karban Pesach, those are the exceptions to the rule. You don't fulfill them, you have to go ahead and you get an onus kare. So the bottom line is, so since mila has kare, so if it was strict or other reasons, the Taz and others point out that it's considered mefurish b'kra, and therefore they can't go against it. So nevertheless, whatever the different reasons are, mila has to be done on Shabbos. So we pointed out only a mila bismana is done on Shabbos, not a mila shalo bismana. However, we pointed out, what about if it's a suffix mila bismana? If I don't know, well, what do you mean I don't know? Is it either a twilight baby? So it's a question all week long. Well, do today is, well, Monday, but okay, so either. So a baby's born on Monday morning, so normally the next Monday morning, that's when the bris is. The shayla is, let's say the baby's born tonight during twilight. Let's assume that 6:30 was sunset, 7 o'clock is nightfall, and in between there's ben hashmasha. So let's say a baby, so everyone agrees if a baby's born before 6:30 today, the bris is next Monday. Everyone agrees if the baby's born after 7 o'clock, again an hour example, the bris is Tuesday. The shayla is if you're born between 6:30 and 7. So the issue is, we know the bris goes on the eighth day, but we don't know, is between 6:30 and 7, is that considered Monday or Tuesday? So we can't do it next Monday because maybe it's only day 7. And if you do a bris before day 7, it's a problem. Even though the Ramah is an interesting Ramah that makes it less bad. But Lamai said we don't do a bris before day 7. However, but if we do it on Tuesday, it might be day 8, it might be day 9. So so the risk reward is with you. You can't lose by 9. You might miss the mila bismana, but you're not missing the mila. So therefore, on every day we'll do it this other next day, except on Friday night. The problem is you can't do it Friday. Again, Friday ben hashmashos. You can't do it Friday because maybe the baby is born on Shabbos and it'll be day 7. You can't do it on Shabbos because you don't know if it's day 8 or not, so we do it on Sunday. There is actually a discussion in the poskim, like how much into ben hashmashos. Let's say it's 2 minutes after sunset. So pashas will say we'll consider it a suffix and not, but that's some poskim discuss maybe the first couple of minutes, depending how far in, maybe. So the real test would be if it happens Friday night. If then you'll be if you get I guess it depends in which direction you go. If the baby is born Saturday night, if you assume the first 5 minutes is day, you'll really be tested if would you do a Shabbos bris when it might be day nine. But either way, Lamaisa is practically most assume Ben Hashmashas, we wait to the next day. And the other stuff at Mila Bizman is we know it's day eight, but it's a C-section baby. A baby's born not in the normal way, and therefore it's a question because the Parshas Tazria connects Isha Ki Zazria V'Yolda Zohar to maybe it's only a bris on day eight is only when you have a woman becomes tummy. So biblically speaking, she becomes tummy for 7 days, and in theory, if it's a C-section baby, she doesn't become tummy. Practically, she does. But if she's tummy, and now you can't. The reason is that the first 7 days, you and the husband and wife can't be together. So we wait to day eight. Why should everyone else be together and not the husband and wife? So we wait to day eight. That's just from a theoretical point of view, because practically, it won't make a difference anyway. But the bottom line is, a C-section baby is a shiloh if it's day one or day eight, meaning when. Does it, maybe a C-section baby you could do right away if the baby's healthy, or you have to wait today? So it's a sveika d'dina. So again, same thing. If the baby's born Tuesday, C-section baby, you do it next Tuesday. If the baby's born on Shabbos, we do not do it next Shabbos because this is when we know it. It's a difference. By twilight, baby, we don't know what day it is. We don't know if it's day 7, 8, or 9. But by a C-section, we know exactly what day it is. We're just not sure if the Zman is day one or day eight. So it's the same result. So that's clear cut. That's clear cut. We don't do a suffix Mila Bizmana on Shabbos. So the question is, today, Bizmana Zeh, we have new technology. I mean, we have artificial insemination. We have in vitro, different ways how women become pregnant besides the normal way husband and wife living together through medical intervention. So the question is, if we had medical intervention, a husband and wife, the wife did not become pregnant on the natural way, but it was through medical intervention, would that change, and the baby's born on Shabbos, would that play a role in the Shaila? So why would it? At first glance, you'd say, like, what's the connection? Because number one is, we're talking about the Gemara, which talks about a C-section baby. That's the birth is different, but he still became pregnant through natural means. Over here, we're talking about the conception happened, let's say, not the normative way, but the birth is happening the same way. So where would I come up with a concept that it's even a shaila? So there's an interesting Gemara in Chagiga. Tezayin, very interesting Gemara. A Gemara talking about immaculate conception, perhaps, bath health, insemination. That's a discussion if it's an allusion to Yeshkana. Clearly, science says it can't happen today. It's a separate discussion. But the bottom line is the Gemara is, I think, asking about could a Kohen, Kohen Gadol marry a pregnant virgin? You know, what do you mean, pregnant virgin? That's an oxymoron, right? Well, it depends. Today, maybe it's not, because maybe it could be a man, but who knows? But back in the time when there were two sexes, it was an oxymoron. So
today, it's definitely not.
Exactly. Today, I think you're a birther. You're not. You're a birthing person, maybe. I have to make sure I have it down. So therefore, it goes like this. You go ahead, and a woman becomes pregnant. Let's say, Gemara's case is, the answer is because maybe she became pregnant. She went into the bathhouse after another man, and she became pregnant. So that's the Gemara. Okay, nothing to do with Mila. Comes along Rabbeinu Hananel on the Gemara there and says, perhaps a child, since his Ben, this child, this son, or assuming it's a son, was, in fact, that's who they say, Ben Sira. They say, in some, it could be urban legend, but some of the, don't know, Achronim bring down, it could have been like Ben Sira was born, they claim, I think it, because and then he, then they, and they discuss that. But either way, the bottom line is, they point out that, the Rabbi Chananel points out that perhaps this would not have a din of a Mila with Shmona, because since this baby was born in a, you know, a miraculous way, a different, a non, we'll see what he means in a sec, but since the baby was not born the regular way, so therefore perhaps it doesn't have a din of a Isha Kisazri of a Yolda Zachar, and therefore it's not considered a, and therefore maybe you can't do a, and therefore it would follow, according to Mechanel, you couldn't do a brisan, it would be like a C-section baby, meaning totally different, it's a conception and birth, but doesn't fit under the category of Isha Kisazri of a Yolda Zachar, and therefore, based on Rabbi Chananel, you wouldn't be able to do a bris on Shabbos. Okay, let's assume. Okay, who cares? But who has immaculate conception? What does that have to do with today? So that's the shiloh among the contemporary poskim. How do we view artificial insemination in vitro? In other words, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach raises the chakira, and everyone follows or discusses it as well, is... What's pshat? When Rabbeinu Chananel says you can't do in this immaculate conception, can't be, you can't do a milan Shabbos, at least because maybe it's not considered a ben, what did he mean by that? Did he mean because it was a miraculous occurrence that you normally don't become pregnant going into a bathhouse? Or no, not because of a miraculous occurrence, it's because it wasn't the normal way of doing things. It was a non-normative way, a major difference between the two. Because if you're a scientist, you understand how artificial insemination works in vitro. It's a very logical way. It's not a miracle. I mean, everything's innate, as the Ramban points out. But we point out, but what the Ramban says, things that happen all the time, every day, you know, we call it teva, and things that happen once in a while, we call it a miracle. But as I like pointing out, if you're an editor of a newspaper, and you, so Chazal tell us that, Bali Musa tell us, a baby born is a greater miracle than resurrection of the dead. Yet, if you're putting your headline to the paper, baby born today, you'd probably be looking for another job tomorrow. But if you wrote, Tchias HaMesim happened, well, you'd be selling a lot of papers, maybe. I don't know, I guess how many papers actually sell in the supermarket when they have these crazy stories that they claim happening. So I'm not sure, at least they're still around, so I'm assuming there are enough papers sold, but I don't know. So either way, so that's the question here. So if the Pshat of Rabbeinu Chananel means miraculous occurrence, so this is a miraculous, then this is considered an Isha Kisazria. But if it means not the normative, even though it's a lot more, it's still not normative, even though it's a lot less uncommon now than it was 10, 20 years ago, but it's still not the normative way, so that's the question of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He's mesupik on which pshat in Rabbeinu Chananel is correct, and therefore he concludes one should not do a baby that was born through in vitro artificial insemination. It's a sveika d'dina, like it's, even though the Gemara in a C-section, the Gemara says it's not to do. It's not a debatable point. But he says, and he compares it to those cases, and he says, one should not do a bris on Shabbos. So, I mean, a lot of people don't know. And obviously, then that means if you're a Moel, you have to find out. I mean, that's a question. Are you Mechayev to ask? But you have to, you know, and then let's say you do find out, as Rav Bleich agrees, Rav J. David Bleich, the one in contemporary halakha books, he agrees with Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he says, if someone asks you, this, you're allowed to do a white lie. Tell them the bilirubin was too high, or make up whatever you want. It's none of that. You don't have to tell anyone that you did in vitro or how your wife became pregnant. None of the business. But the point being is, he agrees. So does Rav Herschel Schachter, as well as Rav Mordechai Willig. They're all in the camp that one should not do a bris on Shabbos if the baby is born through these contemporary means. However, on the other side, we have Chacham Avadja, for all those Svardim out there, Avadi Yosef says, yes, you do a bris on Shabbos. And in fact, not only Svardim, Rav Usher Weiss, I believe, also is the opinion that one does a bris on Shabbos, as well as, I believe, and I think it's almost the Yortzeit, Rav David Feinstein's Hatzal. It's kind of, I know, because Rabbi Sachs is today or tomorrow, yeah, whatever it was. I know Rav David was in the same week, so yeah. So Rav David Feinstein, I believe, holds as well. What? Maybe it was, he died in 86. I don't know if he's,
It
must have been. It was artificial insemination, maybe, I don't know, but they don't. A lot of times they ask him when they, so, when he said, so what is Rav Moshe saying? You want to know Rav Moshe said? You want to know what I have to say on the matter, I guess. But I'm not sure if Rav Moshe explicitly talks about it, because I don't hear him quoted. So what happened? So bottom line, so it, you have a lot of and Rav David Cohn, I believe, is also in the camp. I think that too. I don't. I might have spoken to him. I don't remember which way he said already. But I think Rav David Cohn, if I recall, is also against. So you have a big crowd. You have Rav Shlomo Zalman. You have Rav Schachter, Rav Blackwell, well, maybe Rav David Cohn, but then you have Rav Asher Weiss, you have Rav David Feinstein, and Avadi Yosef, so yesh v'yesh. So depending which camp you're in, you speak to your local posek, your local rav, and find out what the minig in the community is in terms of what to do, if there is a minig in the community, if people even know when it's happening or not, So that would be the Shabbos. My question is, according to those who say you, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, what happens if you do it? So I'm not getting into whether you're a Machal or Shabbos on that, but then you tell him, I don't have an answer to this question. I'm just thinking, so would they say that you have to do a bris? Is it like doing a Mila Shalom Bizmana? I'm just saying, I guess it could be similar to, let's say, it's day 10. The first day the baby's healthy is day 10, and they don't know the halacha, and they do the bris on Shabbos. So is that it? So is it you shouldn't have done it, but it's good? Or do you need a toughest down bris? I mean, so to me, without, again, we'll have to see what the poskim say, to me it would seem like the bris should be good. I mean, is a difference. You shouldn't do the bris, but once you did it, it's day 8, and it gets into the cloud of if it's a mitzvah b'aveira or not. But they discuss it in kedushin, not this question about tosis in kedushin about what like the zman. There is a sheet in the Gemara that says. Past Yom Shemini, you can do it at night, but not that we paskin that way. But yeah, so that would be the Shaila. If someone did a Mila Shalom Bizmana, so how far would they go? So I don't know. So even maybe day 9 would be worse. Because I think the Pashas, I think, like the second camp, like without, if I wouldn't have known anyone said anything on it, I had to get my own opinion. I'm like doing it before I know the opinions, but I would have thought, it's how you learn Rabbeinu Chananel. So number one, it's a chakira in Rabbeinu Chananel, plus who said we don't usually pass, and even though sometimes we're choshes for a she, it's not like he's not a normative, to come down like this, it's only Rabbeinu Chananel quotes the Shita. So it's always a first. So when you have only one Rishon quoting it, do you say, well, everyone must agree, because no one, or do you say, everyone else, that gets into that Shaila, how you view those questions. And then it's a big Chiddush, because the Gemara talks about C-section, the birth is different. To come along and say that, you get the concept from Rabbeinu Chananel, who says, he's the one who has immaculate conception, maybe. Okay, but to me, there's a difference between in vitro and immaculate. So if I would go with the camp, I would have thought that it wouldn't have been a problem. But I'm just saying it's yesh v'yesh, it's a machlokas aposkim, and there is no you know, it depends who you speak to. There is no like definitive answer on that question. That's why, plus the fact there's no definitive, I think if you did it, I think then my question is, would Rav Schachter say you need a toughest dam? You know, I don't. My guess is no, but I guess like I can have someone ask him. I can't have someone ask Rav Shlomo Zalman. I can't have someone ask Rav Schachter. See what he would say on that. That would be my guess on the issue. So that's the issue of the question of the Brits. Other contemporary issues come up in Mila. Speaking of Billy Rubin, as I said, as Rav Black says this, tell someone, I don't know if he said Billy Rubin or not, but that has to do with, because the Gemara talks about in Shabbos, I think it's Kuf Lamed Aleph, the 19th Perek talks about, it doesn't talk about Billy Rubin, it talks about a yellow baby. The Gemara talks about, Chazal are very concerned that don't do a bris if the baby's yellow. So, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it down. But the Rambam brings it down, but he brings it down a little bit different. Very yellow, a very important medical term. Very yellow versus yellow, so that's good. I mean, there could be a lot of discussion as long as they're not locking us into what that means. But whatever it means is the Rambam seems to be more open to doing whatever very yellow is, you can't do it. But if it's just yellow, there's room in the Rambam to say you can do a bris. And according to the straight psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which is really, it's a machlokas Rishonim. I think it's the machlokas, the Rambam and the Rush on this issue. It goes back to on this or other Rishonim. So what do you do with Maisa if a baby, it happens all the time. So I wouldn't say all the time, it's not uncommon at all. So they're basically like three sheets is in the poskim. You have the strict sheet of the Shevet Halevi, I believe. He goes with Chazal. He says, be very careful about yellow baby. That's it. Basically, he says, you don't do one. I mean, and then he gets into it. So there's a discussion on how high the Billy Rubin has to be. So I think, again, this, I think Rav Black's quoting this in the contemporary halacha. I think he says, if the Billy Rubin's over 5, you don't do it. But if the Billy Rubin's over 10, not only don't you do it, but then you have to, there's another halacha. There's halacha besides not doing a meal when the baby's sick. When a baby gets sick a certain way, you have to wait another 7 days. That's a big sugya. What type of sick do you have to be? Like sometimes day 9, okay, you do the bris. But other times, so again, what's considered chola kohaguf versus only one part of it? So that's a discussion in the Achronim. So there are situations when a baby is sick, you have to wait a week after. Once he's better, okay, now you wait another week. So that's the most chamar shita is like the Shevet Halevi and others, they quote that not only can you do if it's over a 5 bilirubin, apparently isn't that high. And so if you have over a 5 bilirubin, you can't do it. And it's over a 10, not only can't you do it, but after the bilirubin gets down to, I guess, whatever they assume acceptable, so then you have to wait another week. So you have some shitas, you have to wait till it goes down, and then you have to wait another week. Then you have other poets, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Nishmas Avram quotes him, he said, his shita basically was you go with the competent doctor, Bizman Hazeh. A competent doctor who says the baby's healthy, it's no risk to the baby, you could do it. So he says, you could, I think he quoted even a case where Rav Shlomo Zalman, even when the Billy Rubin was like 14, 15, which I guess is on the high side, he said, if the doctor says it's fine, that's it. So you have two extremes, in other words, what I mean extremes, meaning you have the Shevet Halevi basically goes with Chazal, don't ever do, basically seems to discourage to ever do a miwa on a jaundiced baby. And you have Rav Shlomo Zalman, he doesn't know, obviously he learns the Gemara, it's a different type of jaundice, not the one we're talking about. It's a pathologist, something versus the two different types of jaundice. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, The Gemara is talking about something else. Don't worry about it. So, and then you have a middle shita, which seems to be the more normative shita. The middle shita that basically that again they might argue on what the bilirubin is, but let's say as long as the bilirubin at least is receding, it's going down. It started to go down, whatever amount it might have been. So therefore, they'll say, they'll be a little more machmer, waiting a little bit on the bilirubin, but they'll say, but you don't have to wait, but you don't have to worry about that extra 7 days. So you have the Shevet HaLevi who says, draw on this and 7 days, so you have to wait 7 days after the baby gets better. You have a Shlomo Zalman, just go with it right away. And then you have the middle shita, which many, I think that's the consensus view, where the bilirubin already looks like it's going down. And so then you could do it, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think, is in that camp. He was Mako as well as others. I remember even here, who is the one who came here, he came here to do a bris, is Rabbi Chang, what's his name?
Chen?
Rabbi Chen. I guess he lives in Toronto, but apparently...
He's very machmer.
Yeah, so actually Rabbi Chen, so I think he learns in South Fallsburg in one of the yeshivas there. They were telling me that when the mother was a doctor, and she said, don't worry, it's okay. He says, I don't care what the doctors say, I'm telling you we're not doing it. Halacha is much more machmer than you. I'll determine when the... I've done 1,000 of brises, so I think the mice in the bilirubin went down, so it was enough to make Rabbi Chen go with the bris. But he was in that school. So therefore, it's all based on in general, that's the very yellow versus yellow jaundice, but it gets into the different levels of bilirubin as well, and. Also, one more issue we have by Mila, many more, but we have 5 more minutes. One more issue we have by Mila is also a major discussion about what about Mila is painful. Some want to claim that the baby doesn't feel anything. He's just crying because the crowds around them, everyone. I can't confirm either way. I'm not a doctor. I just said it to one doctor. He looked at me like I was nuts. Other doctors. That's what Rav Schechter claims all the time anyway. So but I don't know what's true or not true, but either way, at least I know people discuss it. And it's clear the baby's crying and Elio is coming down. We don't know if he's crying out of pain or simcha, or he's just telling everyone to get lost, whatever the case may be. So the issue is, it definitely involves pain if the baby's older. Okay, we all agree to that. If it's an elder, if a convert's getting circumcised later or whatever, he's unhealthy and you have to wait to a certain age. So everyone agrees it's painful then. So the question is, what about using anesthetics or topical? Could you put some under? With different procedures. Like I just had a procedure that put me under. I didn't really want to go under, but they did anyway. And other times they just drug you up. You're awake, but this to dim the pain. So they have these topical things they put on, or they have general. So So there are a couple of issues involved. So the most machmir sheet is the Imre Yosher, Rav Arik. He claims that pain's not coincidental. That's inherent. I guess you want to welcome to Judaism or welcome into the fold. You have to be moser nefesh. He quotes. He quotes by Avram Avinu. Avram was rewarded, he seemed to get double reward because it was painful, etc. I always think of, when I think of Avram Avinu, I think of when I was in the hospital many years ago for my kidney stone, and that's back then when you still had to stay in the hospital. So the guy next to me was in a lot of pain. I guess my insurance only covered a semi-private room because this was someone next to me. And I said, by the way, what are you in for? He told me he got a circumcision. He wasn't a Jewish guy, and I don't think it was a religious thing. It could have been for diabetes. I'm not sure why. I just know the guy was in a lot of pain. That's what I always think when I'm When I think of Avram with the meal, I think of the guy next to me. So according to your Mayor Eric, that's part, you know, like no painkillers, that's what it is. It's built into the mitzvah. In contrast to, let's say, you don't have to like stick yourself in the thorns going, it's inherent to the mitzvah mila. Others want to claim no, because the Zohar writes that it's a kapara for the pain of childbirth, it's a kapara for the sin of chava, and yet all posts, at least in our religion, say there's nothing wrong with minimizing the pain. It's not a mitzvah that you have to, that's a kola. So if you could avoid the curse of being in childbirth, you take painkillers. So they want to claim that, so they don't go with Ramey or Arik. They don't think it's inherent. There's no din you have to suffer even during the mitzvah of milah. So the Sridi Asian and others talk about, but there's a question of what about mitzvah strichas kavana? Like the question is, you have to be awake when you do a mitzvah. So in terms of, because we have, so Avadi Yosef, he's in the camp, you don't have to be, you can even do a full general. And yeah, I mean, he could be talking about an older gear. I'm not saying he recommends it for everyone to listen to it, because he quotes the Maharach or Zarua, I think that's Or Zarua's son, who has his famous shtickle by Mila. He asked the question that David is in the bathhouse and he's mitzvah and he has no mitzvahs to do. And then he looked at or he remembered his bris milah and he was besimcha. So the question, what, did he just do a bris milah in the bed? No. So the Maharaj says, no, we see it's a continuous, to being gamal, it's not just the maisa milah, it's a continuous mitzvah, and therefore we see it's result-oriented, the mitzvah. So it doesn't make a difference that he's under, even under general, he said that was the minig Yushalayim, he claims he did it with different base sins. And so the three A's he's more reluctant when you're taking, for a baby he's more open to it, but entering someone into Klai Yisrael, that they say it should be asleep at the time, there's a whole discussion about that by Sukkah, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that's about sleeping in the Sukkah. So if you're exempt from sleep, so you put there from mitzvahs when you're sleeping, so one eitz was, so when the guy falls asleep, you throw him out of the sukkah and you go in because he's patur. That's the whole discussion there. But the point being is, so, but Avadi Yosef is even for an elderly gear, but the Sridi Asians are a little reluctant, so we try to go with topical. Like, we try to avoid going under for miwa because you're entering the covenant, so mitzvah strichas kavanah, so you can avoid going under general. We recommend the topical in terms of minimizing the pain. So we don't assume that pain is inherent in the mitzvah like Meir Arik, but if you could avoid the pain and do the mitzvah, then go right ahead. You have a minion?
Thank you.
I guess I'll be staying.